Welcome to another edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we got a great show coming up this time. We've got our friend Amanda Stein from the New Jersey Devils.
She's very cool. She's one of our favorite hockey follows on social media. And we always joke about Brian Burns is kind of everywhere. She's like, no joke, everywhere.
Yeah, she's
everywhere for the Devils.
Yeah, she's good people. She's the writer, video journalist, and co-host of Devils Official Podcast on NewJerseyDevils.com. And like we said, all over social media, she's fun to follow because you kind of get an inside look behind the scenes of that team, which is it's an interesting dynamic on that team.
Yeah, it is. And we definitely want to talk to Amanda about that.
There's
a couple things that are very interesting with the Devils this year.
Like Jack Hughes.
PK Subban.
Yep.
I know. So, but hey, you know, he's a good hockey player.
I know. Look, and I'm probably bringing it up with her too, but I don't know. Did you ever see the SNL skit with Chance the Rapper as Laszlo Holmes?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So the NHL kind of picked up on that, and they've been doing a series of these like Instagram videos with Chance the Rapper playing Laszlo Holmes, interviewing actual hockey players.
Yeah.
PK Subban was one of them. Austin Matthews was one of them. There are a couple other guys, and it's just hysterical. So funny.
And when he was here doing when the All-Star game was in Tampa,
right.
He was doing a lot of fun things for the crowd.
Absolutely.
And stuff. And I mean, he's really good.
He's a showman.
He is.
For sure.
But, I like him. I know you're.
Also, Laszlo Holmes made a reappearance on SNL this week because Chance the Rapper was the host and musical guest.
Yeah.
And the bit, I'll just let you in on the bit real quick. The bit is he usually covers basketball for MSG Network.
Right, right.
But they needed somebody to cover something else. So the last time it was a hockey game, which was hysterical. And then this time it was a video gaming championship.
It's very good.
It's very good. It's worth a watch for sure. And then the NHL, really brilliant picking up on that and running with it for social media videos. I mean, it's really funny. So check that out. But I'll probably bring that up to her because it's one of my favorite things over the last like month.
Oh,
it's so funny. It makes me laugh. All right. So let's talk about the team and what we've seen so far, because the Lightning have played the second fewest home games of any team in the league.
Who's got the least?
I don't know. I didn't look that up. I was like, I feel bad for you, whoever that is, because we haven't played that many at home. And now they're preparing to head overseas. Mm-hmm. But they still have a 5-3-2 start, which ain't too shabby when you think about it.
No, it's really not. So over the last course of the last week, you know, we saw them play Pittsburgh. And you brought up a really good point off air, which is it was a really late game. That Pittsburgh start was kind of super late.
It was. Oh, my goodness. So, okay. Happy, yes, that the team was featured on national television.
Yeah.
It's the Wednesday night rivalry, isn't it? That's what it's called. Super happy. Okay. But it's a Wednesday night and people got jobs. I'm just saying. And there was a really wonderful ceremony, and I'm sure they've talked about it already on the channel, but they had 47, I believe, Medal of Honor recipients in one place on the ice for the national anthem and for the puck drop. It was beautiful. They were in town for a convention. It was just very moving. Bravo to the Lightning for pulling that off. It was very well done. However, it pushed the start of the game back like by 15 minutes, I feel like. And it was already a late start for us. Mm-hmm. So I'm still catching up on my sleep. But then the game was... Look, I grew up on the Penguins, watching them. They were my first team.
Little CT could barely walk, but there she was.
Skating
on the Penguins.
At the igloo.
The igloo.
Getting people to chant, "We want blood," at 2 years old in one of the sections where my grandmother had seats. You know, watching Mario Lemieux, who, if you've listened to this podcast, you know he's my favorite player of all time.
Yeah.
So I follow them.
Yeah. You have interests.
I have interests. Look, if the Lightning play the Penguins, we better beat the Penguins. But you know what? If we get knocked out of the Stanley Cup, you know, and the Penguins are playing, I'll cheer them on. you know, just because of the history.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
No, but Sidney Crosby was kind of a non-factor in this game. Other than him dropping the puck at center ice with Steven Stamkos, didn't really see him that much. I mean, he was there, but he's usually a huge difference maker. Really wasn't seeing him that much, which means our guys were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Exactly. And another thing to point out is our schedule so far is whatever, 5-3-2. Mm-hmm. I don't like those little, I don't like that. Nah, it bothers me. 5-3-2. I don't like that too.
Oh, well.
I know, I mean, we have to say it, but it's kind of like,
it's an overtime.
I don't like it.
Loss, right?
Yeah, they get point. You know, I get it. But anyways, the teams I feel that they need to beat right now is Boston, which they did. Toronto, which they did, handedly.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, which they did. It's these weird losses,
right,
you know, to the Ottawas of the world that kind of meh. But I have faith. I have confidence and I have faith when they go out and they beat the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it was a close game.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like,
we're not panicking here.
No.
There's no reason to panic. We've said this before in other episodes that once they come back from Sweden, we feel like everything's going to even out and they're going to find their rhythm and they're just going to go. But I feel like when they come out, they've been flat.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm not used to seeing that.
No, okay. That's fine.
But they're still winning games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they're, but it's not like the 7-3 games,
right,
or the, you know, 4-2 games that we've seen in seasons past. So, you know, a 3-2 win against Pittsburgh, a little too close for comfort for me, but they're a great team. They got a, they're a very good team. They're always,
listen, they always say good teams find a way to win, right?
Right.
And the Lightning beat Boston.
Yep.
In a shootout.
Yep.
And then they had that bizarre ending to the Pittsburgh. I mean, it was a late start and then a really late ending. Like, the ending was just going on forever.
Yeah. It felt like an overtime period, just waiting for the refs to decide whether that puck went over or not.
Ugh.
And I'm like, hey, guys, we already started late.
4 a.m.
Let's not push this. No, it wasn't 4 a.m, but, you know, oof, boy, it felt like it. But, you know, the good news was Cedric Paquette was back.
Yeah.
He ended up on the score sheet.
Yes.
There were a lot of shots by the Lightning, 22 shots in the second period.
And that's what they have to do. That second period, man, they're really not, I feel like, I don't want to say they're not showing up. That's not a fair statement. But they're not getting the puck towards the net at all, it seems like, in the second period. And they traditionally, in years past, and I know you can't look back, but they're a second period team. That's kind of where they come alive and they find them their groove.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I feel like it's not happened. And so I was really happy to see that many shots in the second period. And I, the thing we know about this team is they know what their weaknesses are and they're addressing them.
Mm-hmm.
We may not have like the quickness to their addressing of them, but they're getting addressed. They know it's a smart coaching staff. It's a smart team. These guys all have high hockey IQs. We don't have a bunch of dum-dums skating around out there. And they know this is what we need to work on. Do they still need to work on the penalty kill? I'd like them to please address the penalty kill situation sometime soon.
Well, maybe not so much the penalty kill situation. Let's start with not taking dumb penalties. And we'll get into that when we talk about the Nashville game a little bit.
Mm.
But yeah, no, the penalty kill doesn't seem to really be clicking. And last year it was very good.
Remember, they were like 99% through the first, however, 16 games are a really ridiculous percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that parlaying into the Nashville game? Should we just parlay into that?
What is it with Nashville?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is with Nashville.
They give us fits. Whether PK Subban's on that team or not, they give us fits.
It's Nashville and Minnesota. I mean, they're Minnesota. Why?
Yeah.
But Nashville, man, they really get the Lightning, got their number there.
That they do. A loss in OT, 2-3. Two of the big things was penalties and the ineffective penalty kills. And they go hand in hand. If you don't have a good penalty kill, then stay out of the box.
It's almost like logic,
well,
right?
But, you know, last year they were lucky. When they did end up in the box, they were most likely able to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just tale of two seasons, really.
Yeah, and we've seen games where they're like not even on the power play. Like they don't even have a man advantage for an entire game. Mm-hmm. That was very recent where it's like, really? They didn't really? This is a little odd.
Well, let's not start the
conspiracy
theories.
Definitely not, because I am the first person to tell you that the refs don't hate the Lightning. They hate everybody.
Yes,
they do. It's just strange that you don't see, you know, but you know, other teams are playing the Lightning tighter.
Yep.
And they're being a little smarter because regardless of the 5-3-2, whatever the record is right now, this is still a highly feared team in the NHL.
Feared?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Do you want...
I don't know. I don't feel like teams are as fearing of us, at least from what I've seen in our building, which hasn't been that many.
Right. To be fair. But I know that if, well, and I'm not a professional hockey player, shocking, but you look at a line that has Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, and Nikita Kucherov, and that's scary. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wouldn't want to be a defender against them.
No. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's still a team that can... They can have a lot of firepower,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just those three that can score. You know, we've seen
all of them.
Shattenkirk, for goodness sake,
yeah,
outscoring his total from last year when he was on the Rangers, which I've said is a fluke season, but it comes to, you know, cherry picking.
Yep.
but we've seen people score all over the ice,
yep.
and that is what makes this team scary.
Absolutely, yeah,
except Nashville, who doesn't seem to affect them at all.
Yeah. I got nothing. It's just penalties. Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Clean it up. And then if you got to take one, figure out your penalty kill.
Deep sighing.
And you know
it's
what?
It's frustrating.
It's frustrating. And you know what? It's interesting. We saw McElhinney again.
Yeah.
In net. They're really trying to get Andrei Vasilevskiy some rest.
And I don't disagree with that
no?
theory. And I don't mind that we're seeing McElhinney so early.
Right.
It felt like a very long time last season before we saw Louis Domingue, and now we're seeing McElhinney, and we need that. We need that second goalie in the fold.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, Domingue did not have a great backup year for us. I thought he was fantastic. I really did.
Yeah.
But I think their thought is, let's work McElhinney in more. Mm-hmm. Let's not make it such a shock when it's time for him to get out there.
Yeah.
Let's see him early. Let's see him at home. Let's see him on the road. Let's see him when it's not a back-to-back situation.
Right.
We're seeing him in different situations here.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes for a more complete Lightning team.
I like it. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget, social media, mostly Twitter, at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, and you can find us on Facebook as well. If you have any questions for us this season thus far, make sure you tweet us. Let us know. We'd love to answer your questions. So we talked about the week that was. Now let's talk about the week ahead, the New York trip, and then on the plane to Sweden.
Yes.
I'm going to say that forever.
Sweden.
I feel like we should go to IKEA on the day of the game and eat Swedish meatballs and watch the game. What do you think?
You know, they have
maybe put together some furniture.
My newest obsession from IKEA are those gingerbread cookies.
Are they the what?
The ginger thins. They're heart shaped.
Oh.
And they come in a red tin.
You want to share some with us next week?
I will.
Okay. I love a good ginger cookie.
Oh, you're going to love it.
A ginger loves a good ginger cookie. See what I did there?
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay. Oh, hey. All right. So, New York Rangers. Yeah. Not such a great season thus far, and Shattenkirk making his return, and
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
a little stopover.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
a back-to-back.
I feel we have a lot of back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. We do. We have 16.
We did last season, too.
Yeah, and we're getting used to them, but listen, the Sweden trip really does kind of throw a wrench in a bit because of the travel,
mm-hmm.
and... So we've already seen how many back-to-backs this
couple,
year?
Two or three.
Three. We're on three or something like that. So it's going to happen. You have, you know, you play 82 games and you got to fit them in a time frame, and then you're going to Sweden for 2 weeks or 10 whatever days. And these are the games that you kind of have to watch out for. We know the team is leaving from New York. Mm-hmm. They're not coming back before they take off. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to call them trap games. I don't like that. I think it's kind of a cop-out, but I think we have to be a little careful.
Yeah.
Tread lightly a little. Or maybe we should, maybe I should tread lightly in how I put this.
Right.
But you can't overlook these games because you got a trip to Sweden.
Yeah, and these guys are professional athletes. They're not going to overlook these games. They know that games in October can sometimes decide if you're playing in May.
They sure can.
So May and April. So these guys are professionals. You know, as much as we talk about the schedule, and I want to ask Amanda Stein about that too, because the Devils have had a real weird schedule too. Yeah. But I feel like they're professional athletes. Their bodies train for this all year long. Mm-hmm. Yes, is it mental? Yes, I'm sure they're very excited to go overseas and to see a new place and all the excitement that brings, and all the extra people that are traveling and all the events and, you know, going to Victor Hedman's, you know, home country. There's a lot of excitement.
Sure.
But these guys know that, you know, they've got three games that they've got to knock out before they can get on that plane.
Yeah.
And all the festivities and fun begin. And then when they get over there, you know, we kind of overlooked who they were playing against when they were going on this Sweden trip. But they're playing the Buffalo Sabres, who have not been shabby this year.
No.
They're a contender right now.
They are.
So,
And I think the Buffalo Sabres have been okay for the last year. So we've seen them building.
Yes.
The rebuild process is in full effect, and mm-hmm. now we're seeing that. But the scary thing about the Rangers, they're very up and down.
Mm-hmm.
They're very inconsistent. They'll win a game, lose a game. But they're coming off a pretty bad loss mm-hmm. against those guys over there in Massachusetts.
Oh, those guys.
So, you know, how fired up are they going to be to see the Lightning? Probably a little fired up.
Yeah. Well, and something to prove, too.
Something to prove.
And then the Devils, and we'll get into more of that with Amanda Stein in the next segment. But
they're an anomaly team to me.
They're an interesting team.
They're very interesting because we know the kind of season they had in 17-18.
Mm-hmm.
And we faced them in the playoffs, and it was like, you had that feeling like, ooh, this might be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a thing.
It could be a thing.
And then it wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a thing.
And it was kind of a really, not that I'm a Devils fan or an apologist or anything, but it was kind of a letdown season.
Well,
as somebody who
we
loves
should know
hockey,
what that feels like.
Yeah. Whoa. But for somebody who really loves hockey and just the game and just the different mechanics and how it works and the dynamics, I was a little disappointed
mm-hmm.
in the Devils season because I really thought this is going to be fun. They're a fun team. They're fast, and they're very skilled.
Right.
And they've got a nice mix of veterans, you know, Corey Schneider and Taylor Hall, and then the young guys. I was a little disappointed from it.
But they did okay. Because they got the first pick in the draft, Jack Hughes.
And they got
P.K. Subban, which I think a lot of people were surprised about.
I was.
I know I was.
I was.
I did not see that coming.
I definitely didn't see that coming, but listen, I thought it was working out for him in Nashville. Clearly it wasn't. Both teams didn't, mm-hmm. you know, both the player and because the player of P.K. and P.K.'s stature, he doesn't just get traded.
No.
There's got to be something worked in a contract there where he gets some kind of say, probably.
Right.
Just throwing that out there. So when I saw that goal, I was like, what? I'm sorry, what just happened to P.K. Subban? Who?
Yeah.
Huh? What happened?
But I think it was a great pickup for that team.
Yes.
I think he's going to do well with them as the season progresses,
yep.
as much as it hurts me to say
I
that.
I don't know why you just...
Well, here's the thing. And I kind of lightened up on him when he
you
went
did.
To Nashville because I thought he was playing a different role.
Okay.
I was not a fan of him when he played for Montreal. He may have been asked to do different
a
things.
A little aggressive for your liking?
A little aggressive for my liking.
Okay.
But he was younger then. He's grown now.
Yeah.
He's now engaged. You know, he is somewhat, he's got a personality.
He does.
I think he's a great ambassador for the game
I
as
do.
Well.
I agree.
And I haven't really noticed a lot of things that bother me when he's on the ice. So maybe he's just grown into his own.
It could have been just grown up a little
phase.
Bit. Also, could have been he became a superstar and the spotlight is on him.
Right.
And he learned that I can't maybe...
Well, and he may have been asked to play a different role by the other teams that he played
for. Very
with,
true.
Montreal.
Very true.
So, it's a very interesting team. I think they're very dangerous because people don't know yet.
When that team finally clicks,
oof,
I think they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, they could be a problem. They could be a problem. All right, so let's get into, then they go to the island, who the Islanders are playing some really good hockey. They almost have 10 wins.
And they've been on an upward climb for a few seasons now.
Yeah.
Man, there's just a lot of good hockey in the Eastern Conference right now. And I feel like there were seasons in past where it felt like it was like that in the Western Conference.
Oh, it was
like,
always the West.
It was like, oh, Chicago. Oh, LA. Oh, Anaheim. And it was like, I feel like the East has kind of taken that spot over now.
Well, it's that ebb and flow, man, that we talk about. You know, ebb and flow. One side's going to do well, and then the other, you know, other conference is going to see, well, that's working for them. Maybe we need to change our game. So it's just always back and forth, I feel like. And the Lightning have always consistently kind of just been in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think the other teams are starting to catch up. I don't. Mm-hmm. That sounds really bad, but that's kind of how I feel.
It's okay.
You know, for a while it was all everybody in the West and the Lightning, and now it's like everybody in the East, including the Lightning.
Right.
And then there's like one or two stragglers over here in the West.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
You know.
Fair.
When the LA Kings are trying to cover up a Taylor Swift banner in their arena because they think it's bad luck. Man, I don't know. I'd be looking at other things at the same time. But I mean, it's. They have, like, they really need to win these games, I feel like. Two of the three, I'd be happy.
Okay.
One game, one loss, one win, one loss, an overtime loss or win, I'd be happy.
Oh, I'm so tired of the overtime losses. I'd really like some more overtime wins.
I know.
But I mean, a point is a point is a point is a point.
Right.
End of Braden. But I feel, I'm like, I really kind of, come on, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We'll That's see. Just me. That's just me.
Yep.
But this New Jersey, New York, I guess just New York trip. Newark is close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who's actually, my friend Robin, who's actually going up there with my other friend Nancy, and they're going to all three games.
Oh, good for them.
They couldn't make it to Sweden because of work schedules, but they're going to do the New York trip and check that out. So I'm kind of interested to pick their brain and see, because I've only been to a Rangers game.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been to a Devils or an Islander game, which I'm not even sure where are they playing on the island. Do they play at the Barclays Center? Do they play on a rink inside of Central Park?
Where are they
playing?
Yeah.
But they're playing some really good hockey. I think the Islander game is going to be the toughest one for them.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you.
Even though the Devils game is after a back-to-back, is the second of a back-to-back, I still think the Islanders game is going to be a one to definitely catch.
Yes. I don't want to call it, I think all three games are important, but that Islanders game...
going to be heavily contended.
Where, you know, it could be the best of the Lightning, or it could be, what the heck?
Like Ottawa, what the heck?
What the heck?
Who are these people? So then let's talk about... obviously, after that, they get on a plane. They go to Sweden. If any of you guys are going to Sweden, we would love to see your photos. Tweet them to us. I want to see them. I want to talk about them, because I'm going to live vicariously through you and Greg Wolf and this girl that I work with who's going with her family, Jen. We may have her on when she gets back to talk about that, because we're going to try to get Greg Wolf on, because he is going with the contingency from the NHL and the Lightning, which is super exciting for him. We're super excited for our friend. And then my friend who I work with, Jen, is going with her family as a fan.
That's fun.
Yeah, so kind of get both sides of it.
And I just want people to know that you and I did, you know, discuss it last season when we found out.
We did.
Apparently, neither one of our employers wanted to give us 11 days off.
Yeah, there was that.
That was kind of the problem.
Yeah, there was that. And pay for it. Then we had to figure out how we were going to pay for it.
Which wasn't that bad, really.
It wasn't if you did it early, but still got to pay for it somehow.
Yeah.
But we would love to see your photos and hear all about your trip. So let us know how it is over in Sweden. And if you go to an IKEA in Sweden, is it the same? Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to know. And also, I want to see food photos.
Okay.
I'm curious about the food over there.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we can kind of, like, is it one of those things where Swedish meatballs and lingonberry sauce is really a thing over there, or is that an Americanized Swedish thing?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I would assume they eat a lot of fish.
Ooh, yeah. And do they have Starbucks over there?
Ooh.
Want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. All very important, hard-hitting questions. but before we go to break, before we have our guest Amanda Stein on, I wanted to let everybody know that... one of our favorite players, or I'm speaking for us.
No, I love
Okay. Dan Girardi now has a new podcast, and you can find it at TampaBayLightning.com. It's called The Block Party with Dan Girardi, which The name is amazing.
Yeah.
Because he would block shots with every part of his body.
And he always makes everything. He always felt like a just really a party type of
fun guy.
Not like a wacky frat boy, but just a fun
great
dude.
Personality.
Yeah.
And I could see it on the bench. Like, even when he wasn't, when somebody on the bench was mic'd up, whether it was him or somebody else, like, he was always cracking jokes and, like, making light of things and kind of bringing everybody back down. Like, we're not saving lives here. We're playing hockey, you know, kind of attitude. So I have not had a chance to listen to the first episode, but it's on my list to do today as I drive home. And I cannot wait because I think it's going to be entertaining. And I love ex-player podcast because you don't know while they're playing because they're soundbite machines.
Right.
Now that he's stepped away from the game, he's reflecting on it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know about it. Like, I want to know what that move from New York to Tampa was like. You know, I want to know all that kind of stuff. We should try to have him on our show.
Maybe.
I'd be very excited.
It would be fun.
Yeah, it would be absolutely awesome.
I the only real interaction I really had with, I think I told you about this, was at the Bolts Family Carnival a couple years ago, that he was the player. I was in line with my kids, and his son was playing one of the games.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do, like, the meet and greet with his son. And then his daughter was just a toddler at the time, and his wife's, you know,
Trying to juggle it all, and
she's trying to juggle all, and then Dan's trying to juggle it all, and then he kept saying to the guy that was working the game, like, "Is he okay? Is he okay? Yeah. Is he driving you crazy? Do you need him to go away?"
Yeah,
and like he was just like a little like spitfire. His son is just like him, but he was so gracious. And then at one point, his wife walked out. She wasn't nasty about it at all, but she just kind of like was asking, inquiring about the time, and he said it should just be a few more minutes. But he didn't just say, "Hey, I gotta go."
Right.
He hung out and he finished it, and he just a really very down to earth couple.
Yeah.
Really adorable, down to earth kids.
Yeah. And now he's got a podcast,
which I'm sure is fantastic.
I love seeing what these players do when they walk away from the game.
Yeah.
Dan Girardi with this podcast, Ryan Callahan on the NHL Network. I love that. He's not a hockey player, but Rob Gronkowski stepped away from the game. He's been on NFL on Fox, which I love seeing that. And another ex-player, Brooks Like, has a podcast on the iHeartRadio app called What Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, who's one of my favorite artists ever. So it's like my two worlds colliding. It's a really interesting podcast. So I love seeing what these players now are doing once they walk away or skate away from the game, I guess.
Yeah.
And this is another one. So check out the Dan Girardi Block Party with Dan Girardi on TampaBayLightning.com. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with our guest, Amanda Stein from the New Jersey Devils.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And we are joined by one of our good friends, and we love having you on the show. We're so excited. writer, video journalist, and co-host of the Devils official podcast on NewJerseyDevils.com. You're an avid social media user, which I love following you, and you do a lot of other things for the Devils, too. So why don't you just run down your resume real quick and let everybody know where they can find you, because you're everywhere.
Hi, guys. Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Amanda C, as in the letter, Stein, S-T-E-I-N, and I just pretty much post everything, whether it's about my life or anything that's going on with the Devils. It's been an absolute blast, my third year with the team.
I can't believe it's already your third year.
I know.
So
it's
great.
Insane.
So, obviously, you're very busy with the start of the season, but you recently covered Martin Brodeur's induction into Canada's Hall of Sports Hall of Fame. Which
that was awesome.
Seemed really cool. He seems like a really cool guy, at least from your video report. Can you kind of give us a behind the scenes and talk about a little bit about that and, you know, his legacy with the Devils?
Well, I mean, I think his legacy with the Devils is really well known. He's you know, he backstopped the team to three Stanley Cups, the only Stanley Cups the franchise has. he really transformed goaltending from when he, you know, came out onto the scene. And he's so beloved here in New Jersey. He went to the Blues for a little while, and about a year. And then when he was, when he came back here and got back involved with the Jersey community and with the team, everyone was really excited. And last week he got inducted into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame. And really, you know, of course they mentioned the three Stanley Cups and what he did in New Jersey, but it's really also because of his contribution to the Canadian community, particularly in Montreal. And also he's an Olympic gold medalist with Team Canada as well. So he's done a lot in every community that he's been in. And he's just a humble guy, and he just knows where he came from and doesn't forget that. And where he came from is both Montreal, where I'm also from, and also New Jersey. This is a place where he grew up, and he became, you know, a man and all that. So we're really excited to have him back in the fold.
You know, Amanda, when I was watching your video of it, I was listening to, because people should go to NewJerseyDevils.com and watch it, because he's speaking over, you know, B-roll type of thing. And I'm like, I wonder who she's talking to. And there he is with you. And I'm like, he is so cool. Like, he just is like a normal guy, not one of the greatest, if not the greatest goalie of all time. And it's really, you did a beautiful job. I want to tell you. And I really think that everybody should go listen. He's just a really neat guy. He kind of reminds us of Ben Bishop when he was here. He's just a cool dude that happens to be really, really good at what he does.
Yeah, he is. And there's also like the connection in that, like, we do speak French together a lot because I speak French and he speaks French, and obviously because we're both from Montreal. But he is. He's just, you know, being involved with this team, he's been very supportive to me and, you know, answers any questions. And I can walk into his office, which is upstairs from where I am. So he's just, he's really generous with his time. But he's not always here because he does, his family is still in St. Louis. So he comes back and forth. But when he's here, he's very generous with his time.
So let's talk about the team as it is now, because 17-18 season was pretty exciting and they looked like they were on the move. And then last year, not as good, but two good things came of that. First was the drafting of Jack Hughes, which, can you kind of, for those who don't get to see him on a daily basis like you do, can you kind of give us an idea about what kind of player he is and what makes him so special?
It's really funny because I'm literally watching him, like, dangle around every single player right now. He's, like, literally on the ice. They're using half the ice, and he's all over the place. I mean, he's just – he's a smaller guy because he's, you know, he's only 18, but he is incredibly talented when it comes to hand-eye coordination. His speed is unreal, and he's just a smart kid. You know, a lot of people were saying – I mean, I know we're still at the beginning of the season, but in the first couple games, like, oh, where's Jack? Like, you know, we thought he would be putting up points like crazy. But you also have to remember he's the first ever player from the national development team to go right from the national team development program into the NHL. Oh, so it's a huge adjustment period. And over the last two games, I mean, you see a completely different type of player now that he's kind of figured it out in a way.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it a little bit more, and that's okay. Like, it was an adjustment period. He's on a three-game point streak, and I have no doubt that that will continue on. And there's also, like, a newfound confidence for him on the ice once he got that first point and that first goal. You can just see his patience really coming out. And, you know, you have to realize when it comes to Jack Hughes, his whole life he's been such a good player that he's always had the puck. He's always been better than everyone else.
Right.
And he's not in the NHL because he's still learning. He's still figuring out the game. He's playing against men. And now that you see that he's figuring it out and getting his timing down, he's going to be an unstoppable force as the years go on. He's really, I mean, he's such a delight to watch.
How have the fans taken to him in Jersey?
Everybody loves Jack Hughes. His jersey, I would say, is pretty much everywhere when it comes to having Devils fans in the crowd. You see a lot of Heisher Hall and Hughes, not a bad combination of players to have on your team. And I mean, when he had his first point, which was an assist, and they announced it, I mean, the place went absolutely crazy. There's a lot of hype around him, and, you know, it's justified hype because of how he performed before he got to the NHL. And now, as I said before, you're seeing him start figuring out the NHL. It's really exciting. And so it's not booze you hear, it's Hughes you hear.
Okay. It's kind of like it's kind of like the arena in Tampa when Coach Cooper is on the screen and
exactly,
it sounds like booze.
Exactly.
Yeah. So another player, by the way, we're speaking with Amanda Stein with New Jersey Devils, writer and video journalist and co-host of the Devils official podcast on NewJerseyDevils.com. The other interesting pickup you guys made was the addition of PK Subban, who's not one of my favorites, but
he's one of mine.
And it kind of took at least some people on the outside by surprise. He's one of the best defensemen. Aside from that, what else does he bring to this team other than his he's got a great personality, though.
He really does. And what's really fun for me about PK is I used to work in Montreal. So as I said before, I'm from Montreal. I covered the Montreal Canadiens for 7 years, and that was when PK made his debut with the team. So I've known PK for, I want to say, like 11 years now.
Wow.
And it was really exciting to reconnect with him here again in Jersey. And I remember he was here on the ice in the summer, and I guess he didn't know I was here, which is totally fine because he had been in Nashville for a few years. And then he's like, what are you doing here? I was like, no, I've been here for 2 years. You're the new guy. So he's got a great personality. And I think sometimes, I don't know, I think sometimes he gets a lot of flack for it. But he's just who he is. Mm-hmm. And he makes no bones about it. Like, you know, he can perform and he can back things up on the ice. He's healthy this year. And I think that makes a huge difference. And he's now gone back to a role where he's being depended on like a number one guy. He really is, you know, pretty much the number one defenseman on this team where he, you know, he's 5-on-5, he's PK, he's power play. He didn't have that in Nashville. And I think he's the type of guy that really thrives in that environment. I saw it in Montreal, and I'm really seeing it again here. At the beginning, the first couple games, you were kind of like, oh, where's PK a little bit? Like, he's not maybe playing up to his potential. But John Hines told me a couple days ago, maybe about 2 weeks ago, that he pulled PK aside and he said, look, we don't need you to be flashy. We don't need you to do everything. We just need you to be you. And they sat down and they talked about what was important for PK to do. And that really transformed the way he's played in the last couple games. He's been outstanding for this team.
You know, and he, like I said, great, great personality. If you haven't seen it on NHL, on their Instagram, the Laszlo Holmes, played by Chance the Rapper, and PK Subban, worth a watch for sure. So with Taylor Hall and Subban and a plethora of the other young talented guys on the Devils, they're still getting their mojo together, aren't they?
I think so. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of new faces. And I mean, when I mean a lot, like, there's a lot of new faces. You have some, you know, you have Jack Hughes, as we talked about before, who's making his NHL debut. You have Nikita Gusev, who was, you know, who is a highly touted prospect. He's 27 years old, but this is the first time he's playing over here in North America. He's trying to figure things out, I think, more so on the defensive end of the game. You just got a lot of new faces, and whether it's an excuse or not, I don't really know. I think the team, from, you know, my experience with them, they're disappointed with the way things have started. But I think slowly but surely they'll be able to figure things out. Obviously, it's a disappointing start to the year, but it's a long season, and there's a lot of chemistry left to be made.
So let's talk about the fact that some of the veterans. Hall has to be claiming for a cup at this point. Subban, of course, you know, must want a cup more than maybe he wants to get married to, you know, Lindsey Vonn. I don't know. But how confident is this unit that once they get it all rolling, usually December, CT and I talk about this a lot. December is the point. That's where you kind of want to have it together.
Yeah.
How confident is this team that we will get it together, we're going to go back to the postseason, and how does Coach Hines kind of keep them from keeping all that in check so they're not looking too far ahead?
Well, he's an incredible motivator, and I think that that's one of the biggest assets for John Hines, is that he can really motivate a team and keep the focus level really strong. And you're right, there's still a lot of time left to be played, so, you know, to figure things out. And it's going to come. It has to come. Well, they have no choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you have no choice. You have to figure it out. You've got a lot of different coaches working with the team. Patrick Elias is here. Tom Fitzgerald's on the ice. They've got a lot of people looking over them. And you know, from my estimation, they just need a little bit more chemistry, a little bit more playing time, and hopefully they can put this right back on the track.
So kind of previewing what's to come with the Lightning and Devils matchups, both teams have kind of had wonky schedules. The Lightning have only played four games at home since the season started. You guys have only played two games in 11 days. How do you, like, these are professional athletes, so I like to think that these kind of weird things don't affect them, but how much do you think the schedule does weigh on these guys, and do you think it's going to be a factor going going into the matchup?
Well, I do think it affects you, because you can't necessarily replicate the intensity, like, as much as you want to replicate the intensity of a game versus being in practice, right? Like, it doesn't happen that way, because you're against your own teammates. You're not in the thick of a game. So two games in 11 days is very rare, I would say, in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate part about this time around, this kind of layoff, is that they're coming off of a loss. And I've talked to a lot of the guys, and they said, you know, before, the last layoff was easier. We were coming off two wins in a row. So there's a different type of mentality there. There's a different type of just general feeling. And now you're coming off of a loss, so you're kind of anxious to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it sounds so cliche to say, but they're professionals, and you take what the schedule gives you. And that's what John Hines always says. They said, we don't control this. We can't do anything about it. The only thing we can control is how we approach what the schedule gives us.
And speaking of the matchup, I'm really interested to see Jack Hughes and Nikita Kucherov on the ice at the same time. I'm kind of hoping that kind of happens, because I think they'll both be skating circles around each other and nobody will get anything done. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you kind of excited to see with this matchup? Because we don't get to see you guys that often.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lightning games. I find it so fun. But I don't know how much you'll see Kucherov versus Hughes. There's definitely, you know, with the fact that the Devils have last change, John Hines can protect Jack Hughes a little bit more than that. So I don't know how much you'll see it, but look, you know, you've got the speed. The Devils are really fast. The Lightning are really fast. I mean, you can't really ask for more than that. And the firepower on both teams, right? Maybe New Jersey's firepower isn't performing the same way it used to, but it's getting there. And you have Jack Hughes, who has figured things out, as we've talked about many times before. And so the speed matches up really well. The talent level matches up really well. So I expect nothing but an awesome game come Wednesday.
Us too. Okay, so prediction time, because we have to, we know you need to go.
Yeah, the guys are getting off the ice.
Yeah, and it's early, but who do you see as the top teams right now that have a real shot to come out on top of the East this year?
Oh, geez. I mean, Boston's the easy one for me. They're just a really, really good team. Went to the finals last year. They have a lot of structure. I think they're the team to beat. Sorry, am I supposed to say Tampa here?
No.
You don't have to say
not at all.
So I think Boston, once again, will be the team to beat in the East.
We're frankly tired of hearing people say Tampa needs to be the team to
beat,
because
I
feel like
it's really work out for you guys.
Yeah. Nice little change of pace. No, it's all good. But Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. Remind everybody where they can find you on social media, because you are delightful to follow.
Oh, thanks, guys. You can find me at Amanda C. Stein on all platforms. I have the same handle.
Thank you so much. You're amazing.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
you. Amanda.
Bye.
All right, that's it for this week's episode. If you have anything you want us to talk about, you can always tweet us. You can find us on Twitter at GameMiz with a Z Conduct. And Dory, anything else?
Nope, just really looking forward to the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Going to be exciting.
Going to go to Sweden.
Sweden.
Yes. All right, we'll catch you later. Have a good week, and we'll catch you at the rink.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.